there, but I want you to grab the Pew Bible and turn to Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. I've done some of the work for you. It's page 172, and it is the top of the second column. 172, Deuteronomy 30, 15. And as we begin to dive into Moses, he's preparing Israel to cross over into the promised land. And as he's preparing them, he lays before them this epic choice. And he says to them, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of your Lord, the Lord your God, that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish." Now, I've preached on this section a few times, and it's typically, not to sound facetious, it's typically at this point when Lutherans start to sweat and they start to panic, because inevitably, what gets read is that the Lord is commanding you to make a choice. The Lord is commanding you to make a choice. It sounds like this: Israel, do you want to have life, or Israel, do you want to have death? And it starts to feel a lot like decision theology. It sounds like you have to make a choice for life by making a choice for faith in God. But that is not what is going on. In my humble estimation, I think the lectionary completely cuts off what is the most important piece of this passage here. Join me at the bottom of the first column in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, right before the choice that Moses gives. He says this: "But the very word is very near you. Pay attention. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." Choosing life or death was never about choosing faith. The word of the Lord was already in the mouths and in the hearts of the Israelites. They had already been given faith by Yahweh. Choosing life or death, then, was a matter of choosing obedience or disobedience. And verse 14 contains the very words that we heard Paul choose, quoting this morning in Romans 10. Paul writes and he asks, "But what does it say?" He quotes Moses. He says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." From verse 14. And it seems all too appropriate that Paul quotes these words from Moses right before he himself lays out a similar challenging command to the church in Rome. He says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Lutherans don't like that too much, in that there is the if-then clause that sounds like we're putting the onus of faith on you, because it sounds like if you confess and if you believe, then you will be saved. I've seen Lutherans kind of crawl into a bunch, into the fetal position after they hear something like this, and they start chanting. They start chanting, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel." At which point we just have to call a timeout and say, "Yes, you are absolutely correct. It is the work of the Spirit through faith and the gospel that's already been placed inside of you. It's not something that you are choosing to do by yourself." But one second. According to Paul, according to Moses, and because this is the inspired word of God, according to Jesus, Where is the gospel? It's already in your heart. It is already there. It is dwelling inside of you. Faith has already been given to you. Instead, what Paul is calling you to do is just what Moses was calling Israel to do. It's to live a life of obedience to the faith that the Spirit has already brought up inside of you. Paul is calling you to live obediently. You already have faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. So live your life accordingly. So confidently and boldly confess your faith in Him. Demonstrate the belief of your heart with your whole self, by your conduct, by your actions, by the words that you say. Be someone that makes someone stop and say, there is something different about you. Let them see by your thoughts, by your words, and your deeds that Christ is Lord over your entire life. Maybe that somebody who sees you is someone who lives over on Demun. Just maybe. And I guess I want you to know that there are still people living over off Demun across the street from the seminary who do not know and trust Jesus as Lord of their life. And according to Paul, they ultimately will be put to shame. According to the word, they will not be recipients of the riches of Christ Jesus. They will not be saved. The only ones who will be saved are the ones who have heard the gospel and call upon the name of the Lord. If people are not doing that, if they're not calling upon the name of Jesus, this should be heartbreaking to us. Should be heartbreaking to you. If you're obediently listening to the word of God, which has already been placed in your heart, you know that it is not a word that is supposed to remain silent within you. It is a word that you are to boldly confess to all nations, to Jew and to Greek alike, to the people of Demun, to the people of Iowa, to the people all around the world who do not already know who Jesus is as our Lord and as our Savior. We confess it so that they might hear it and that it might dwell in their hearts as well. And so I pray that as we continue through this season of Lent, that you would reflect on the very truth that the Word of God is already dwelling inside of you, in your hearts. But I also hope that you use Lent as a time to focus, perhaps refocus, on obedience to that Word. Specifically, I hope that it is a time that you obediently confess your faith. And by obediently confessing your faith, sharpen your witness. Because there are people outside of this room, and even as few of us are in here, maybe there are those inside this room, just maybe, who do not already know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they do not know what He has done for you and what He has done for them. Amen? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, bless and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.